It's possible to live with someone without truly knowing them.
This is Real Family Life with Dennis Rainey for Monday, March 27th. Here's a 91-year-old man reflecting back on his life.
It would have been much better for me to spend time with my wife and my kids than with out whooping it up with the boys on the golf course and people that I was doing business with. So my advice to you is spend more time with them. That's where I miss the boat.
That's a tragedy. A friend of mine, Gary Rosberg, was headed down the same road. The thing keeping him from his family wasn't golf. It was the rigorous demands of school as he studied for his doctorate degree in counseling. Lying in bed one night, he asked his wife, Barbara, what he described as one of the most frightening questions of his life. He asked, "Can I come home?" Her response was, "We love you. We want you. We need you. But we don't know you." He had been so busy and distant that his own family didn't know him. Gary resolved to change and now is a loving husband, an involved dad, and yes, an excellent counselor as well. One final thought. Does your family truly know you? Do you need to come home? Make sure there's nothing that threatens the most important relationships in your life. I'm Dennis Rainey, and that's Real Family Life.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Every time you say you love me.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station. Here in San Diego, California. Well, wowzer, about do want to bring up a couple things. Michael Woolworth did a fantastic job last week talking about Bible League International. He did great. I love that his last name is Woolworth because my last name is Spoon. So it's easy because if he makes fun of me, I can make fun of him. It's kind of fun. But the bottom line there is to understand this. He is passionate about getting Bibles to people, brothers and sisters, who do not have a Bible. Now, the first time I ever heard Bible League, when I first came to the station, I said this question. I didn't say it to them, to Bible League, but I said to a couple people, well, who doesn't have a Bible? And then as I grew into my knowledge about Bible League International, I found out that outside of the United States, that had been the first thing I should have really asked, outside of the United States, who doesn't have a Bible? And the answer to that is the majority of Christians. And I was like, wow, I've got so many study Bibles. I got so many Bible programs. I mean, I've got probably 80 plus versions of the Bible. And it's like, what do you mean? They don't even have a solid, single, put-together Bible? NIV, ESV, King James, New King James, New American Standard, anything? It's like, their Bibles are few and rare. I even have a Hebrew New Testament. That's how many different versions I have, which the New Testament was written in Greek. But what's great is that Bible League International provides these Bibles for brothers and sisters. I love this. In their language that they can use. And they have gone through the numbers over years and years. They're close to giving away a billion Bibles. And I said this before, I'll say it again. That's not enough. 7 billion people, we need 7 billion Bibles. It'll just be that simple. But every time somebody gets a Bible, as many as 12 people are impacted when a believer receives a Bible. So it costs $5 to put a Bible into somebody's hands in a foreign country. $5. So $25 puts 5 Bibles in people's hands who are believers. And that impact is at least 12 people or as many as 12 people. I can't remember which one that is. But it's 12 people is that number of average of people that are influenced. So $25 gift influences 60 people. With Bible truth. And then they have not calculated how many people are influenced beyond that. Because once those 60 people are influenced, how many more people are influenced? They don't have any idea. They can't do those numbers. So I encourage you to get in touch with Bible League. Now look, a $25 gift, a $50 gift, a $100 gift. I want you to think about that. If 25, just think about that. If $25 gives 5 Bibles, $250 then would give 50 Bibles, a $1,000 gift would give 200 Bibles. And that would be, just think of that. How many people, 200 Bibles, times 12. I think that's going to be 24, is that 24,000 people that are influenced at that point? I mean, it's let me get the calculator and let me know. It's just so many people, 24,000 people for a $1,000 gift in a land filled with darkness where the gospel can be light and the truth can break through the power of the lies. 1-800-YES-WORD. That's the phone number. And I had somebody say, hey, I want to give, but I want to make sure it's secure. 1-800-YES-WORD is completely safe. Also, KPRZ.com, until we get these 2,000 Bibles taken care of, well, I'm not stopping. Are you going to talk about this next week? If we don't have it done, you bet. 2,000 Bibles from San Diego. That'll affect 40, what is that? That'll affect 2,000 Bibles at 12 people, right? How many Bibles is that? How many people are affected then? It's just a ton of people. 2,000 times 12. 2,000 Bibles. Says, come on, folks. Let's do it. 24,000. We can do this. Let's do it. We can do this. Oh, even my math's off. So what? I'm not a math teacher. I'm barely an English teacher. I'm certainly not a Bible teacher. I'm just an encourager. But here's the bottom line. Bibles in the hands of believers makes a diff. 1-800-YES-WORD. 1-800-YES-WORD or KPRZ.com. I'm going to have Michael come back on the show, I think on Thursday-ish. We're going to have him back on the show. Let's get into our text, our portion, our encouragement for the day. The title is, That's Not the End of It. Do we have any music for that? Let's roll it.
You haven't heard the last of me.
Oh, that's perfect. I'll tell you why that's perfect. You haven't heard the last of me. Revelation chapter 21, verse 5. It says this, He was seated on the throne, said, I am making everything new. Let me ask you this question. Is your Christianity old? Is it old? Is it boring? Dull. Well, then there's a problem, but it's not with God. Because God is doing new things for people, not new to him, but new for us all the time. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Do we see it? Do we perceive it? Do we feel it? Your Christianity, you're not at the end of it. Your faith, you're not at the end of it. Where your faith will go and what you'll do in your faith, you're not at the end of it. You know you when you're at the end of it, you're dancing on streets of gold, and you already know that's really not the end of it, is it? That's kind of like a beginning. So there is no time where you're not going to be just doing new things in the Lord. I'm telling you right now, if your Christianity is boring, it is not God's fault. You wouldn't be bored if a Martian came down and talked to you all day long, but oh, yeah, for God, you know. Come on. I'm trying to tell you this for a reason, because it's not, if it's old, if you're in this stuck position, it's not because God is stuck. The Lord isn't stuck. He's doing new things all the time. He's moving all over the planet. Is he moving in your life? Is he teaching you something different? Are you going through different growth elements? Because the Lord is continually moving. And let me tell you something. Even when you're in tough times, did you know that the Lord is still moving? He's still doing things, even though it doesn't feel good? Let me read you this portion of Scripture. We're going to kind of key in on this for a little while. Genesis 41 28 through 31. It is just as I said to Pharaoh, God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. 7 years of great abundance are coming throughout the land of Egypt. but 7 years of famine will follow them. Then all the abundance in Egypt will be forgotten, and the famine will ravage the land. The abundance in the land will not be remembered because the famine that follows it will be so severe. So when Joseph is interpreting the dream for Pharaoh, he tells him, yeah, you know what? You're going to have 7 great years. Then you're going to have 7 really bad years. You know how bad those second 7 years are going to be? You're going to forget about the good years. That's how bad. It's going to be so bad, it's going to swallow up all the good. Now, I know you're thinking right now, okay, Dave, I'm waiting for the encouraging part. Because you're saying 7 good years, then 7 bad years, and then 7 bad years, it's like, what a mess. Yeah. Except there's this little silver lining, which God always does, because all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. And when we come back, I'm going to show you a silver lining that you might not have directly seen. I'm trying to set this up for you to understand. 7 great years, followed by 7 bad years, and in the 7 bad years, they're so bad. It's so bad, the good years are forgotten. Now you think, that can't be good. There's nothing good that's going to come of this. But you would be wrong, because the Lord never stops doing new things. Not in the church, not in your life, not in people's lives all around you. The kingdom of God is going to continue to advance, whether you see it or not, whether you catch the wave or not, whether you get on board or not, it's not going to cease to advance. And I'm going to show you when we come back from Genesis, how in the midst of the 7 worst years, the greatest things of God can emerge. So great, it may alter your thinking as a Christian forever. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Take a short break and then come back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted K-Praise partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
Is the church's approach to fighting homelessness working? Yes, and we have some examples to prove it. This is Truth Itself. I'm Bob Dittmer. When it comes to America's homeless, Christian organizations set out to do more than offer a hot meal and a safe place to stay. They believe that in order to best serve their needy neighbors, they must get to know them. Jim Rees, president and CEO of Atlanta Missions, tells Christianity Today, instead of being a kitchen cook, you'd be out at the tables with the people, then asking, how do you change lives? It comes from creating a relationship with them and building trust. The Atlanta Mission serves 1,000 homeless men, women, and children a day in its shelters, programs, and transitional homes. Though religious nonprofits in some locales have faced escalating restrictions on homeless outreach in recent years, their efforts are working. researchers discovered that faith-based organizations' relational approach leads to a deeper understanding of the complexity of homelessness and better outcomes for their clients and cities. Ministries provide 60% of emergency shelter spots available in 11 major American cities. And the more faith-based shelters operating, the smaller its homeless population, according to a recent Baylor University study. And the result for taxpayers is substantial. In the 11 locales studied, faith-based nonprofits were particularly effective at saving taxpayers an estimated $119 million with their care and training. Well, these days, health insurance is incredibly expensive, especially if you don't have coverage through your employer. If you're concerned about the costs or the ethical dilemmas of insurance, here's great news. There's an affordable, God-honoring alternative called MediShare. Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your health care. MediShare is not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable, biblical health care. The phone number is 844-49-BIBLE. That's 844-49-BIBLE. You can see these stories and more on our website, truthitself.com. Truth Itself, news that impacts your faith, family, and country.
The David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. You know what I have not said for a show and a half, right? You know what I haven't said?
How to reach us.
That's right. You just go outside and go, hey, Abbott! That's the way to reach us. Let's get into our next segment. You thought I was going to give you more information than that. You're wrong. Let's get into our next area. We were talking about the fact that in Christianity, if your Christianity is old, dull, boring, something is wrong, but it's not with God. Since Revelation 21:5 makes it clear that he does all things, makes all things new. We understand in Isaiah 43:18-19 that too many people focus in on the things that have taken place in the past and don't focus enough on what God is about to do or he's in the process of doing. And then we dropped a little kind of a riddle by talking about Egypt and Joseph interpreting Pharaoh's dream as seven really productive, fantastic, wonderful, up, up, up years, followed by really horrible seven awful, bad, 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 down, down, down years. And the bad years would be so bad. How bad would they be, Dave? They'd be so bad that they would not even remember the good times. Wow. You have to recognize how long of a period of time this is. 7 years. If the average lifespan is 70 years, which it is now, it wasn't then, that means that in a two consecutive 10% period of your life, 1 7-year, the next 7-year, 20% of your life would be mixed up in this plus minus scenario. And the second part, so bad, you would forget the first part. Yikes. Well, Dave, how can anything, what, this is horrible. This is a famine that is about to hit the nation that is beyond people, what people can recognize. Let me give you the setup or the finish up on this. Genesis 45, 4 through 11. Joseph said to his brothers, come close to me. When they had done so, he said, I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed, do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now there has been a famine in the land, and for the next 5 years there will be no plowing and no reaping. That's bad. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve you as a remnant on the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then it was not you who sent me here, but God. And that's the ticket that people miss. 7 fantastic years. Everybody hitting the lottery all the time. Everything is going so great. Why, it's free In-N-Out burgers for everybody. And then 7 more years come by and you have to pay an arm and a leg just to get a Brussels sprout. How bad is that? That's terrible. What could possibly come out of 7 bad years? Yes, a small thing. A small little itty-bitty thing. The nation of Israel. Or what? Well, you see, during the 7 good years, there was nothing that had to be done. Everybody was eating and feeling full and happy, and everything was great. During the bad years, Jacob and his sons were forced to go to Egypt to buy food. But by forcing them to go to Egypt to buy food, God was setting them up in Goshen, the city that they would live in, to preserve them as a nation. So in the midst of the famine, of the worst that hit the entire world, God was birthing a nation. Why? Because God is never done doing things. And even in the midst of the worst, there's God doing yet another new thing. And in the midst of the turmoil, in the midst of the famine, in the midst of the struggle, God creates a nation. Now, you have to think. But, Dave, I feel like my time in the Lord, it's dry. There's nothing happening. There's no fruit. There's no produce. I'm not seeing anything. Ah, it's what you're not seeing. I got it. But that doesn't mean God isn't working. That doesn't mean he's not formulating and creating and pulling in from the left and the right and the north and the south and the east and the west. But, Dave, I don't see it. I know, because you're not God. You only see what you see. And the world saw famine. God saw birthing of a nation. The world saw disparity and forced movement to survive. God saw, I'm placing my name on planet Earth, using Israel as a testimony and a witness to my glory. Man saw, it's an increase in inflation. God saw, it's an increase in the kingdom. Do you understand that difference? Is that powerful? Listen to this. You think that's good? Listen to this. Genesis 46, 1 through 4. So Israel set out with all that was his, and when he reached Beersheba, he offered sacrifices to God, the God of his father Isaac. And God spoke to Israel in a vision at night and said, Jacob, Jacob. Here I am, he replied. I am God, the God of your father, he said. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for I will make you into a great nation there. I will go down to Egypt with you, and I will surely bring you back again, and Joseph's own hand will close your eyes. In the midst of the grief that Jacob felt, God gave him a promise. I'm going to make a great nation of you. You're going to see your son again. I'm going to be with you, and we're going to build off of you and create a witness to the world, and out of you is going to come the Redeemer. By the way, we can get into that all day long, but look at what God brought forth in the midst of a famine. Are you in a spiritual famine? Do you have nothing going on? You see no fruit produced? You see no good thing? That does not mean God is not active. Because you don't see it doesn't mean it's not taking place. Jacob didn't see it. I think he's as spiritual as every one of us ever could be. Here is a man who followed God. He had to be reassured directly by God, I'm doing this new thing that you have not yet seen. And I'm going to move you from disparity into blessing. Remember, this is a man who was grieved because his son was supposed to be dead and his other son was taken captive in the process and they were running out of food and they were all going to perish. But instead of perishing and going the way it seemed, God was creating a nation. And he told Jacob, I'm doing something fantastic. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. That's what you need to hear right now. People listening to my voice right now, don't be afraid. God is with you. It could seem like a famine. It could seem many ways, but in the midst of what seems to be the worst of the worst is God pulling together fantastic results that will be permanently life-changing and impact people's lives, including your own. It's not a famine. God is not done. You might be a little deaf and a little daft in hearing, but God is busy working in your lives and in the lives of others. Even if you don't see the witness, his truth declares. He's God. He's in charge. And it's the way he sees things that matters, not the way we see things. Let's get on his page. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Don't go anywhere, because we're going to talk about stolen blessings next.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Billions of people are cut off from access to the gospel, living in hard-to-reach places. Sometimes extreme poverty causes isolation. Others live in hostile communities. Their family may kill them if they acknowledge faith in Christ. The most efficient way to reach these people is by supporting a pastor that knows their language, lives like them, is one of them, and ready to start a church. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry. Since 1953, Whitefields has been supporting national pastors in the most remote villages, proclaiming the gospel to all people.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Will your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities? Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
Here's an observation that made me laugh when I read it. Child psychology has discovered many excellent rules for bringing up other people's children. And all parents, myself included, are experts in those rules, and I would imagine you are too. What is it about human beings that makes us experts on how other people ought to live? Jesus Christ reminds us of the danger of passing judgment on others. He said we ought to take care of the log in our own eye before we worry about the speck of dust in another's eye. We should view others the way God views us, with grace and understanding. This is David Jeremiah encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover God's grace toward others on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com. Start your journey home today.
Recently on Washington Watch Live, Tony Perkins talked about the need to maintain a relationship with the new Congress.
The Republicans have in the past been more concerned about preserving their majority than using that majority to advance things that brought them to office. You will be critical in the accountability portion of this. Two things, really, that you and I need to be doing in the next 6 months in particular, but ongoing. And that is, number one, to be praying for these members of Congress. There's so many competing interests that come after them once they come to Washington, D.C. And so it's important we pray for them, that they stay focused, that the Lord provide for them, protect them, their families. It's a difficult environment. But then secondly is the accountability aspect. And I mean that in a positive sense of simply saying, hey, we want to help you do what you said you were going to do.
You can find out more when you visit TonyPerkins.com.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Don't forget about hisappointment.com if you need some help getting over the big "why did God let that happen to me" hump. That may be helpful for you. I believe it will be. Okay, so we've been talking about understanding that, and I thought that was pretty powerful in its own right, that, you know, when people are thinking they're in this rut, nothing going on in their faith, nothing going on in their walk, because it feels that way or seems that way, and you're like, bleh, that it's good to remember that Revelation 21:5 says God is making all things new, and then Isaiah 43:18-19 teach us that he's doing new things, and sometimes we don't perceive it. We don't get it. Then we use the example in Genesis 41, understanding that there were 7 years of bounty and 7 years of famine that Joseph had interpreted the dream for Pharaoh on. And in the midst of the bounty, it was so fantastic, but the famine was so bad that the bounty was forgotten about. Except during that 7 years of famine, God took that time to create the nation Israel. So out of what seemed to be like nothing, disparity, God turned into a blessing. In the midst of the famine, God created a nation. And much in our lives, in a similar way, when it seems like there is nothing going on and it's famine and it's dull and there's nothing new, God is intricately working in ways that we do not see or perceive. Yet there needs to be this confidence that the Lord is continually working in us. And if you're looking for a New Testament passage, you can go no further than Philippians 1:6, being confident of this one thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will complete it unto the day of Christ, which means God does not stop. You might stop in your mind, but he's not stopping. And that all becomes perception of how you understand what God is and or is not doing and how you hold that close to your vest. So here's a question for you that'll be way out there if you think about it. And that is this simple, well, I don't know if it's simple, but let's say this question. And that is, do you ever feel like you've had stolen blessings? Like you've had a blessing that kind of got stolen or that didn't last? Or you ever had broken dreams? Or have you ever feel like you've had lost time? I've run into a number of Christians who will say, well, when I was younger, before I became a Christian, I was doing, you know, this kind of drug, or I was doing this kind of lifestyle, and, you know, I lost all that time. And so I can't do anything about that. I disagree with that. So you can understand, I do not see that. I do not see it that way for a couple of reasons. Not the least of which is understanding that Jesus is a redeemer. And the word redeemer is somebody who buys something back. Do we have a sound for that, buy something back? What do you got for me? Yeah, so now what happens at an auction is people have an item that has been recycled and then they buy it. Right? Well, you are recycled. And then Jesus bought you back. He's a redeemer. But redemption has to do with the bringing back thereof. He brings it back from the purchase. And here's what I think people see. They see in their lives stolen blessings. They see in their lives broken dreams. They see in their lives lost time. Well, I want to challenge that notion in a couple of different ways. The minimum way I want to challenge that is when somebody says to me, well, they did this in their life, then they became a Christian, they lost that time prior. I disagree. I think it took that experience and that process for that person to ultimately make that right decision. I think it took a series of events to get people to those places, and I don't think that should be ignored. I don't think that should be belittled. I think if it took a tremendous amount of trials for you to become submissive to the Lord, it's not wasteful. It's part of the sanctification process. I say God wastes nothing. He certainly could have got rid of Satan as soon as Satan rebelled, but he kept him around and used him. I don't think God throws things out that way. In Joel chapter 2, verse 25 says this, the Lord says, I will give you back what you lost to the swarming locust, the hopping locust, the stripping locust, and the cutting locust. Here's a promise that God gives to Israel of getting back what was lost. People say, well, you can't get time back. I disagree. You say, well, how can you disagree with that? Because God can make the quality of 1 year become like 10 years. You're talking about the person or the being who created time, and he can make time move in such a way that the redemptiveness of the person is fully experienced. You can't say otherwise. God, you think, well, God can't speed up time. Yes, he can. He can speed it up. He can slow it down. He stopped the sun from revolving around the earth. I think he pretty much do what he wants. He made the clock go backwards. He'll do what he wants. God is not a linear being. He's an interlinear being. He's not stuck in one time frame like you. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he said to Moses. He still was currently the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob when he was talking to Moses 1,000 years later. You're missing the point. God is in charge of time, not you. No, Dave, the clock is. No, it's not. It's a 9-volt battery or a plug-in. That's not in charge of anything. God is the creator of time. He's also the dismisser of time. And God can give you back what you lost. Maybe you lost some blessings. Maybe you lost some dreams. Maybe you lost things that you think you could have done. It's not impossible for God to do that type of thing. The only thing that God can't do is sin. It's the only thing he's limited to. Everything else is on the table. In Psalm 71, verse 20, it says, though you have made me see troubles, many and bitter, you will restore my life again. From the depths of the earth, you will bring me up again. Even though the Lord allows us to encounter the up and the down and the hardships, through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, he's able to bring restoration. Don't you know that God can restore you? Now, I want you to think about this one thing. And I want you to consider this seriously. If God decided to give the quality of your life in the framework of your life a longevity, you couldn't stop that, and why would you? If he took 1 year and made it like 20 years, you couldn't stop that. He could do it. He can give you back what you lost. That's up to God. He can add time to you that you weren't maybe supposed to get, or you initially wouldn't have got. You don't know, and you think, oh, God can't add time. Oh, don't tell Hezekiah, who had 15 years added to his life. Don't tell me God can't do that. God can do what he wants. He's God. That's kind of the point. So the idea is to understand that the Lord can bring about this restoration, this redemption. Psalm 126, when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. And then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we're filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, Lord, like the streams in the Negev. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. They go out one way, they come back in another. You go out in sorrow, you come back in joy. You come out, you go out in loss, you come back in fulfillment. Lord God Almighty is a redeemer and a redeemer of our lives. And he is able to take that which is stolen and broken and lost and restore it to us because Jesus Christ is our living redeemer. And I know there's theologians out there going, well, you can't do this, we can't do that. I just find it amazing that people will say to God, you can't do this. Who are you to say what God can and cannot do? He can bring the dead back to life. I'm pretty sure when you do that, you can do whatever you want. I'm pretty sure that's the calling card. And by the way, he doesn't just bring the dead back to life to rise once. That he did in the Old Testament. But Jesus Christ, who is dead, rose forever, thereby insulting time in and of itself. And that's what you got to get. God is the redeemer. He's the restorer. For blessings lost, for dreams that are lost, for lost time in your mind, it means nothing to the power of God. He saved you, right? You didn't think he could do that. He redeemed you from the pit, right? He answered your prayer, right? At least one prayer when you said, save me. He told you he loves you even though you're not really worth loving, right? Yet he loves you anyway. God does miraculous things, yes? When we come back, we're going to wind it down or wrap it up to say, but can you be too far gone? You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back.
The David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Robert Baumer has been a divorce attorney for 40 years. He's handled every issue associated with divorce, from simple uncontested divorces to the evaluation and division of complex business assets. At the law offices of Robert Baumer, you're assigned your own attorney and a paralegal to handle your case from beginning to end. If you're in need of an attorney in the area of custody, child or spousal support, paternity, or any other issue, call Bob Baumer, B-A-U-M-E-R, today, 619-497-0054. That's 619-497-0054.
It's possible to live with someone without truly knowing them.
This is Real Family Life with Dennis Rainey for Monday, March 27th. Here's a 91-year-old man reflecting back on his life.
It would have been much better for me to spend time with my wife and my kids than with out whooping it up with the boys on the golf course and people that I was doing business with. So my advice to you is spend more time with them. That's where I miss the boat.
That's a tragedy. A friend of mine, Gary Rosberg, was headed down the same road. The thing keeping him from his family wasn't golf. It was the rigorous demands of school as he studied for his doctorate degree in counseling. Lying in bed one night, he asked his wife, Barbara, what he described as one of the most frightening questions of his life. He asked, "Can I come home?" Her response was, "We love you. We want you. We need you, but we don't know you." He had been so busy and distant that his own family didn't know him. Gary resolved to change and now is a loving husband, an involved dad, and yes, an excellent counselor as well. One final thought. Does your family truly know you? Do you need to come home? Make sure there's nothing that threatens the most important relationships in your life. I'm Dennis Rainey, and that's Real Family Life.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
I want to be a warm fleece on a cold day.
I
want to
be a football stadium.
I want to be a bike that races around the country.
I want to be a bench on a forest trail.
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. Brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Love teachings like this because they're encouraging for me to listen to as well. I listen to, I'm not sure if people know that dynamic, but when you're talking or you're teaching, you know, I still have two ears. And they're big. I mean, my ears are big. I'm one of those guys that, you know, you could think, could he fly? I don't know.
They say your nose and your ears never stop growing.
I think the nose is the last thing, but, you know, if you're 90 and your nose grows like a centimeter, what does that mean?
Probably help you smell a little better.
Okay. By then, you've pretty much lost that sense of smell. I'm going to go.
Hopefully, if you're lucky, I guess.
Yeah, depending. Right, exactly. All right, so we've been discussing the understanding that God is not boring in this process. If your walk is dry, dull, or whatever the case may be, it's not because God's not moving. He's continually moving. Being confident of this one thing, that he hath begun a good work in you, will completed unto the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. And so in Revelation 21:5, telling us that God is continually doing new things, Isaiah 43:18-19, making it clear that we are not the greatest perceivers, of the new things than we used a really intense situation, 7 years of bounty, 7 years of famine, to understand that in the midst of the famine, which was so bad it wiped out the bounty, that in the midst of the worst, at that point when nothing seemed good, that's when God was birthing the nation Israel to be a testimony to the world to his glory. How fantastic is that? So he moved the situation and the famine from disparity into blessing. And in the midst of the famine, he creates a nation. And then just this last segment, we talked about the stolen blessings and dreams and the lost time that people operate under. And I think there's a lot of people that operate under a sense of gloom and doom because they think that their life and their time is irredeemable, which doesn't make any sense if Jesus is the Redeemer. It doesn't make any sense for when God says, I will give you back what you lost. That's Joel chapter 2, verse 25. And that the Lord is able to restore our lives again and to fill our lives from when they are having sorrow with tears to reap songs of joy. And from our weeping into songs of joy and laughter. And to fill us with that grace. God can take your hurt, wounded, stolen, broken, lost life and redeem it. And it's bizarre to think that he can't make the quality of 1 year equal that to 10, 15, 20, or even 50. And it's even more bizarre to think that God can't add time to you, especially when you look at Hezekiah, who got 15 years added to his time. God will make that way. He will create that redemption because he's a redeemer. So the question really comes down to, yeah, but can you go too far? Can you get so far over that you can't be pulled back? Well, Paul was pretty far over when he was Saul, giving his approval to the execution of people. He was pretty far over, but God still pulled him back, took somebody that was a destroyer of the church and made him a builder of the church. Took one aspect of a man's life and flipped it 100% so that which is negative and terrible and horrible for the church became the author of many of the things that the church stands firm in. So can God redeem it? Can God pull it back? Paul's life is a great example of redemption of a murderer. It's like, wow. So you might think, well, you know, can you really, is there a go too far place? Psalm 30, verse 1, I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. Lord, my God, I called to you for help. And you healed me, implying that there was healing needed. Lord, you brought me up from the realm of the dead. You spared me from going down to the pit. Sing the praises of the Lord, you his faithful people. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. The weeping can last for a time, even a nighttime, but it's rejoicing that comes in the morning. And though you feel like you are dead, God spared you and brought you back up. And if his anger only lasts for a moment, but his favor a lifetime, anger is shorter than favor, folks. The anger of the Lord, the judgment of the Lord is shorter than the favor and the grace of the Lord. You've never gone too far for God. If you're even wondering, you haven't gone too far. People that don't care about God don't ask the question. Psalm 66:12, we went through fire and water, but you brought us to a place of abundance. You can go through the fire and through the water, and yet the Lord still is there for you. 2 Corinthians 9:8, God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. The Lord is not short in being able to redeem you. He's not on the backside going, boy, I hope I can help this person out. I hope I can help this guy fix his life. You know, God doesn't say that. You say that. I say that. Church people say that. Worldly people say that. God doesn't say that. And I think, you can call me nutsy cuckoo here, but I think what God thinks is probably more important than what people think. You've not gone too far from God. You know what you need to do if you're feeling that distant? You need to come to him. Instead of ducking your head, you need to come before him and ask for his help. It doesn't take a marching band and skittles in the sky and rainbows and flying, you know, flying clusters of stars. It takes you getting down on your hands and knees and praying and asking God for help. What it takes is a humble heart so that the Lord can exalt you in due time, which means in his time. It takes you coming to him and letting him redeem you. Lost? We haven't even gotten started yet. I haven't even started my dance on streets of gold. Not only is it not over, it hasn't even begun yet. That's what's so cool about God. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a 22-hour break, then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The David Spoon Experience on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.